Many people today believe that they can live any way they want and be acceptable to God. They can live any way they want and worship God, be in fellowship with God, and ultimately go to be with God in heaven for all eternity, living any way they want. Any lifestyle, any habit, any thing that they want to do in their life, and they're mistaken about that. We're going to look this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, the kind of person that God is in fellowship with, the kind of person that can worship God, be in fellowship with God, and ultimately be with Him in heaven. And to do that, we're going to look at Psalm 24 a little bit and all of Psalm 15. We've been going through the Psalms on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. If you have your Bible and would like to turn to Psalm 24, I would encourage you to do that. One of the biggest lies, one of the biggest deceptions that the devil has spread among mankind today is the lie and the deception that you can live any way you want and be pleasing to God. God accepts all lifestyles, all habits, all ideas, all attitudes. And God is so loving, and He is loving, but in the mind of the world, He's so loving that He just accepts all behavior. But that's not biblical. We're going to ask the question this morning that the psalmist asked, who can be in fellowship with God? Who can worship God? Who can be with God for all eternity? The psalmist is going to word it a little bit differently, and we're going to see that in a minute. But God's going to answer the question, who can be in fellowship with Him? And we've got to get back to looking at the Bible. One of the biggest problems today, friends, is that people live their lives and then society begins to condone things and they say things about behavior. Oh, this is right and that's right. And we've moved far away from the Bible. More and more people are not reading their Bible. And they don't know what behavior is acceptable to God or not. The children growing up in homes. We're in a situation now where the parents have not been reading the Bible, and the children definitely are not growing up in a Bible environment. And so people just have their own opinions about behavior that is acceptable to God. So this morning we're going to look at Psalm 24 and Psalm 15 and answer the question as it is put by the psalmist, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? Who can be right with God? That's a great question. And it's a question that speaks to the person who can properly worship God, the person who can be in fellowship with God now and in heaven. The question implies that some people are not acceptable to God. There's a certain kind of person that is acceptable to God. The question also implies that the Lord has requirements and conditions and demands that are placed upon us. The Lord has a very high bar, and we can meet that bar. We need to come up to the bar, the standard that God has set, not bring God down to our level. And another thing that we need to know about this question is, the question who is asked of God, we're going to see later when we get to Psalm 15. David is attributed to both of these psalms, Psalm 24 and Psalm 15, and David is asking the question, who can ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? Who can be in fellowship with God and worship God? Who is that? Well, in Psalm 15, David is asking the Lord Himself, and the answer is going to come from the Lord through the inspiration of David. We've got to go to the Lord for the Lord's answer to this question. Who can be in fellowship with the Lord is not answered by mankind. We've got to find out what that type of person is in the Scripture, and that's what we want to do today. In Psalm 24, David writes, the earth is Jehovah's, or the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of Jehovah? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from Jehovah, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek after him, that seek thy face, even Jacob. And then the psalm goes on to talk about how the Lord is the King of glory. But the question that David asks in verse 3 is this: who shall ascend into the hill of Jehovah? Who shall stand in his holy place? That's what David wants to know. It's interesting that David had sin in his own life. We know, of course, of the sin of David and Bathsheba. He committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba who was married to another man, Uriah. David saw her bathing, and because of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, he caved in and asked that Bathsheba be brought to him, and they had a sexual relationship. They committed adultery. David experienced sin, and David didn't say, well, you know, just any lifestyle is fine. I'm acceptable to God when I commit adultery. That's no big deal. In today's society, in many places, adultery is no big deal. But later, after that, when the prophet Nathan approached him about what he had done, David admitted his sin. I have sinned. David knew about sin, and he also knew about the importance of getting rid of that sin, confessing and getting rid of that sin. You can't just live any way you want and be right with God. And so here, and also in Psalm 15, as we'll see in a minute, David asks the question, who can, in essence, be in fellowship with God, be acceptable to God? That's a very great question. People have lost sight of that. People don't know about that today. They don't know the right answer. And the answer that's being given in society is anybody can be fine with God. It doesn't matter how you live. That's just simply not true. What is the answer that David gets from God? Verse 4, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. The clean hands, of course, and a pure heart are not physically washing our hands with soap and water. We're talking about moral purity here, with sin being removed. In David's time, that involved animal sacrifices. Today, it involves obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing that he is the Christ, the Son of God, being willing to confess that, repenting of our sins and being baptized for the remission of our sins, and living faithfully after that. We can have a clean hand and a pure heart. And David says, the person who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, does not lie, is not deceitful, and has not sworn deceitfully. This person is truthful. This person is morally clean. Now, this is not meant to be an exhaustive list. We're going to see some other things when we get to Psalm 15, where the same question is asked. But it's not meant to be an exhaustive list. David is simply discussing some qualities that he wants to address for those people at his time. We've got to read all of the New Testament, the gospel, the law of Christ that we're under today to find out the kind of person that can be right with God. The things that we're supposed to do, the things that we are to stay away from. But we begin to see, friends, that the person who can come into God's presence and be in fellowship with him now and for all eternity is a different kind of person than what we hear about in society. David says a morally pure person with sin removed, a truthful person, someone who's not dealing in falsehood and deceit. Are you that person? Am I that person? And then David goes on to say in verse 5, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord. Not just anybody, but the person who is morally clean and pure. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord. Number 2, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. you'll be right and righteous with God. And number three, this is the generation of them that seek after him. A true seeker of the Lord is someone who is pure in their life. So, friends, who can ascend? Well, first of all, anyone who's willing to do this, any and all. The invitation to ascend and be in the Lord's presence today and for all eternity is open to anyone. Anyone is able to clean their hands and purify their heart. Anyone can do that all over the world. That invitation is for everyone. Not everyone wants that. But that invitation is for you and for me. That bar is not too high. In another psalm that's attributed to David, David said in Psalm 51, the psalm probably dealing with his sin with Bathsheba, that he wants a clean hand and a pure heart. And he did that by confessing his sin, and he would have offered the animal sacrifices necessary for that. You can do it. I can do it. It's very, very important. Now turn with me to Psalm 15, and let's see where this same question comes up there. And David adds some other things here to let us know what kind of a person it is. You know, when David said, "Who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" Psalm 15, verse 1. We're already given an idea of what kind of person it is. It's someone who is going, who wants to be in God's holy hill. He's going to have to be holy himself. Holiness, set apart from sin. So, Psalm 15, verse 1 now. Jehovah, Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Notice that David asks the Lord. And the answer that he's going to get is found in verses 2 through 5. And so let's begin, let's add to what we've already looked at. Clean hands, pure heart, no falsehood, no deceit. Some of that will come up again here, but let's add to the list to find out what kind of person this is. First of all, David is going to talk about godly conduct. This is a person who lives by the right standard of God's word. Verse 2, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. He goes by a standard of God's word. To walk uprightly, God's word tells us what is upright. God's word tells us what is righteousness, right acts, things we are to do, things that we are to stay away from. He that walketh uprightly, not one time, but as a regular daily life, and worketh, not one time, but ongoing daily righteousness. In other words, the person is walking uprightly. He's blameless. He's not guilty of sin. If a sin comes into his life, he confesses that and removes that from his life. Does what it is necessary to remove that. And then he's not lazy. He's working righteousness. God's commandments, God's law, God's word tells us how to be right with him. Psalm 119, 172, God's word is righteousness. Righteousness is found in the gospel, Romans 1, 16 and 17. And anyone that works righteousness, Acts 10, 35, is acceptable to God. Where is that? Where is that upright behavior? Where is that righteous behavior found? In the New Testament gospel. And we've got to be reading it and obeying it. So first of all, David talks about godly conduct. The second thing that he talks about is godly speech. He's going to use his tongue in a right way. Verse 2, and speaks truth in his heart, he that slandereth not with his tongue. All of these are in the present ongoing tense. walking in uprightness, working righteousness, speaking truth, not slandering. It's not just a one-time thing and, oh, okay, I'm right with God, but a daily way of life. You're thinking, well, wait a minute. That's far different from maybe my family and friends and coworkers and neighbors in the community and people I hang out with. Well, it may be. But you have to ask yourself, do you want to ascend into God's holy hill and be in God's presence and fellowship? Or do you just want to hang out with friends in the world? We want to be with God, of course. And if that means changing drastically our daily way of life, let's do that. But the person is going to speak truth in his heart and is not going to slander with his tongue. This is very important. This person is going to speak truth. This person is not going to be hypocritical. It's not going to be deceitful. We're going to put away falsehood and lies, Ephesians 4:25. And notice that David says speaks truth in his heart. It's not just truthful words that come out of our mouth, but it starts with a truthful heart. There's truth there. Our motives are pure. Our conscience is pure. Very important. All liars, Revelation 21:8, they're going to burn in the lake of fire. And lying is so prevalent today. I was asking someone the other day in another country, I was saying, what is a common sin in the Lord's church around you? And he said, lying. We need to speak truth in our heart. And then he slanders not with his tongue. This person is kind, is not hurtful. To slander someone is to tear them down verbally. You say something that belittles them, tears them down, hurts them in some way. You're speaking against them in order to hurt them. This person is going to engage in godly speech, not ungodly speech. Slandering, backbiting, tearing people down. Romans 1:30, 2 Corinthians 12:20. It's a sin. Proverbs 26:20 and through 22. Don't do that. We certainly need to say things to help others. Sometimes we need to be critical and helpful and corrective. But this is tearing people down. And we don't need to engage in that kind of thing. And then David goes on to say that this person is going to do good to others, godly care. He cares for others by following a standard of love. David says, nor does evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. We're going to love our neighbor as ourself. We're not going to do them evil. We're not going to try to engage in some revenge or vengeful activity. We're not going to, as Paul talks about in Romans 1, inventors of evil things. We're not going to do evil to our friend. And we're not going to take up a reproach against our neighbor. We're going to be respectful. We're not going to be accusatory, where we take up a reproach and try to tear our neighbor down. We love our neighbor as ourself. We live in a world that where you try to get ahead of everybody, and if that means stepping on them verbally and otherwise, then you do it. If you need to mistreat someone, who cares? You're first place. You cut people off in line. You cut people off on the highway. You take advantage of people. You move yourself up the ladder, so to speak, at work by stepping on people. If it means lying, slandering someone, gossip, reproaching them, hurting them in some way. It's all about you. That's what our society preaches often in many places, and people engage in that kind of thing. Like a dog-eat-dog world, you just get yours before the other person does. And if it means hurting them, go for it. But again, who is the person who can be in God's presence, in fellowship, and to worship Him properly and so forth? It's the person who is godly in every aspect of our lives. And that includes how we take care of others. Let's keep reading. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honor them that fear Jehovah. People who are not living right, we're going to stay away from that. And people who are living right, we're going to respect and honor that. This has to do with one's values. One's values. Ungodly, reprobate people, people who don't love God, don't want to have anything to do with God, this kind of person we're going to despise, in the sense that we do not hold them in high esteem. We don't honor them. We don't follow their example. We don't encourage them. We don't applaud them. We're not going to, as we had in an earlier psalm, the very beginning, Psalm 1, we're not going to walk and stand and sit with sinners and scoffers. We're not going to uphold that kind of thing. Well, who are we going to honor? The person who fears the Lord. The person who's trying to live right. But in today's society, it's all turned around. The bad person is exonerated, and the good person who's trying to be a Christian, they're put down and made fun of. That happens all the time. Athletes, movie stars, politicians, powerful people, they live ungodly lives. They've got a foul mouth. They're sexually immoral, and they're the ones that are exonerated in our society often. But the godly Christian who's trying to live right each day, they're the ones that are poked fun of and made fun of. We're going to uphold the God-fearing person, and we're not going to have anything to do with the ungodly, reprobate, immoral person. Now, we talk with them and associate with them to try to save them. We don't physically shun them, but we're not going to uphold that behavior. So it has to do with our godly values. And then David goes on to talk about one's integrity. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not, he that puts not out his money to interest. This is a person of integrity and how he's going to use his possessions. He lives by a standard of character. When he makes a vow, he swears to his own hurt and changes not. Even the Old Testament Israelite was told that when you make a vow, keep it. Numbers 30, verse 2. Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." Matthew 5:37 in the Sermon on the Mount. James said the same thing, James 5:12. Keep your word. When you say something, mean it. In days gone by, a person's word and a handshake is all you needed. Today, people say all kinds of things and then they backpedal, they lie, they take the word back, they don't keep their commitments. People make vows in marriage and then break them easily. People make commitments when they sign documents and enter into agreements, and then they get out of them very easily. Friends, when you say something or when you sign your name to something, mean it. Back it up. Be a man or woman of your word. A person of integrity is basically what David is saying. And even if it hurts, sometimes when we make agreements to do things down the road, it hurts. But you still need to keep your word. Even though life hurts or becomes challenging later, you fulfill your word. And that is very important. And then with regard to our possessions, David talks about one who has godly possessions. He's not going to put out his money to interest. This was especially a law especially true for the Jews, Exodus 22:25, Leviticus 25:35-37. This is someone who's not going to burden their neighbor monetarily, oppress them and burden them. And we need to be thinking about that today. So many people are trying to get one up on the other person and run them into the ground, hurt them financially, hurt them otherwise so that they can get ahead, they can get more money, more power. We don't need to be that kind of person where we take advantage of others. And then he says, nor takes reward or a bribe against the innocent. We're not going to be crooked. We're not going to be a crooked, bribe-taking person that hurts others. Even Judas realized after taking the 30 pieces of silver where he betrayed Jesus, he brought it back and said, I have betrayed innocent blood. We're not going to take a reward against the innocent. There are so many people that take advantage of other people. People take advantage of a poor person, their economic situation, their educational situation, their job situation, where they live. There are people that take advantage of others all the time and enslave them. We actually have modern day slavery going on, and people don't want to talk about it. There is sex slavery. There is work slavery going on, and it's going on even in this country. And people who are coming from other countries, they come into this country, they don't have a job, they have all kinds of problems, and there are people here who are taking advantage of them and enslaving them. And David closes by saying, he that does these things shall never be moved. Friends, we need to be the godly person. Be right, be honest, be loving, be pure, be trustworthy, be charitable, be kind. Be the person that can come and be in God's holy hill. We want it now so that we can be right with God now. We can come on a regular basis to worship God. We do that each Sunday and Wednesday and other occasions here at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We can come into God's presence and worship Him and be acceptable. And Lord willing, one day we can be in heaven with God. In the book of Revelation 21 and 22, nothing impure, nothing ungodly, nothing unrighteous, nothing wicked is in heaven with God. That's a holy place, and holy people will be there. Jehovah, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? We've learned who that is. And friend, if we can help you to do that, change your life, where we can go and be with God for all eternity, let us help you to do that. Please contact us. Thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.